Woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Morning Coming Down, episode 76, part of the Pull Tab Sports family. We bought some dirt. We're in the process of buying a lot. By the way, so when you do something like this, the process, I would describe it like this. A realtor sends me an email with a bunch of stuff in it. I send that email to a lawyer. That lawyer sends the email back with a bunch of stuff in different colors. I send it to the realtor. I don't know anything on either side at all. I still have this. I won't sleep well until I actually walk the perimeter of this lot. And I still have this vision of me going to the lot and to meet the realtor. And she's like, oh, not that lot, this lot. That's how virtual the world is right now when you don't see people and it's emails and text and you know, passing things back and forth like a game of telephone. But we are zeroing in on our future. Actually, the seller had a great line. This property is kind of in a narrow strip where you can see kind of both lakes, but it's surrounded by three roads. And I said, you know, it's an interesting property. It's kind of on an island, and this seller does not miss a beat. He says, if it's an island, it might be a fantasy island, because you can see sunrises on one side and sunsets on the other. So needless to say, I've been sending Fantasy Island gifts back and forth to the realtor as we close out this deal. So buying dirt is still a reality for the King household. I played golf on Monday, and a friend of my business partners that I've gotten to know, really good guy, and we played. Both my partner and I are probably happy to break 100. The guy we were playing with could hit like Happy Gilmore off the tee. You've never seen a swing more fierce and straight and long. We were 8 under. We made tons of putts over 10 feet. We each won $100, finishing second. We got longest putt. It was the most fun I've had playing golf all summer. And at one point, I wasn't drinking because I had a lot to get done that week, because I'm going on a guy's trip. More on that later. But also, I'm golfing during the day on a Monday, so I guess I didn't have that much to get done. But I was like, dang it, I would have like maybe had a chew. You know, I would have had a lip snack, a little tobacco, since I'm not drinking. And the guy that hosted us, he says, let me call my mom. She'll bring a tin out to the course. I said, what? You're not calling your mom. This is like Will Ferrell yelling that he wants meatloaf, right? No, she lives with me. She's my best friend in the world. And this actually happened. He called his mother, who dropped a tin of Copenhagen long cut on the windshield of his car, which we picked up as we made the turn in a scramble. I think in some way, as much as that story should make me feel horrible about myself, it could have legitimately impacted us positively, because it was truly a special realm. Speaking of special, I want to wish Brooklyn, Brookie, a happy birthday. Not Brooke. Brooklyn, Brookie, happy birthday to you. I doubt you listen, but I wanted to wish you a happy birthday. And I do want to talk a little bit about Jay Hilburn. I'm going to buy some Jay Helburn next week. That's my plan. I think stylist Andy is going to Italy next week, but I'm going to try to get an order in before she leaves. Andy does these big trips and rents a house and brings friends with her. She claims, her direct quote is, "If you travel with me, you will want for nothing," which just sounds, I mean, I don't think I could say that about anything. I guess maybe if you watch me parallel park, you will want for nothing. If you watch me eat frozen pizza at 3:15 in the morning in my garage, you will want for nothing. But so I'm going to try to get an order in her with before I go. I want to remind you guys, male listeners and your wives, you want to have a sport coat for the fall because nobody's going into the office, so we got to look nice at occasions, at get-togethers, at social. We want to have custom casual, as Andy calls it. You want to have a third piece with your sport coat. You want to have maybe a hoodie, a vest, something to accent that sport coat. And you also want to have some English tan leather on your shoes or your belt. I still got to confirm, but I believe that's the rust-colored, orangey-brown English tan. So I will continue to put pictures from Jay Helburn on Sunday Morning Coming Down Pod. All you have to do is comment, tell me more, a raising hand emoji, anything, and we will connect you to Andy, and you'll go from there. So I'm going on a guys trip tomorrow morning. I'm flying to Denver, and this will be Thursday. So when you listen to this, I'll be on my way back. But it's kind of interesting. So I got a group of four high school buddies, including me. We did, as a matter of fact, make a T-shirt that said Final Forever, F-O-U-R, for our grad party. In case you were wondering if we were from Edina, those shirts were made at some point. I no longer have mine. And then a college buddy that was also friends with these guys in high school. And once a year, there's one person running the trip. And I don't know what happened this year. Somehow through COVID, I just looked at my Instagram. We had a guys trip on January 26th. You might remember this. We went skiing and in Lake Tahoe. And now on September whatever, 17th, 16th, I'm going to Denver for another guys trip, which is like 8 months later. So I don't know what we've done here. I don't know if we have a cheater code for guys trips. I don't know like how this got by all of our wives. I was on a walk with my wife today and she said, "Isn't this like your second guys trip this year?" And even my business partner was like, "Isn't this your second guys trip with this group of guys? Like, what are you guys doing? Like, what's going on with this group?" So I don't know how we have two guys trip. Maybe, you know, when there's like a new manager in baseball and they call him an interim manager, maybe the last trip was an interim manager, interim guys trip. So we're going to Colorado. The host is a gentleman we call the captain. And he has, these guys trips have gotten very competitive because when you're the captain, now it's confusing because this guy is the captain, but you kind of have a captain annually of the guys trip. But there's all these components. You know, first is the destination. Where are we going? And then it's the reveal. You know, how do you tell people where we're going? And then it's the PowerPoint or Google Sheets where you organize all the information. Then it's the trip itself. What are we doing? So I'm on the clock next year, which I'm pretty excited about. Here's some themes for this year's trip. The host is like-minded with me, and he said, "You know, we're like in our late 40s, and we've never actually done a guy's golf trip. So hell or high water, we are playing two rounds of golf on this guy's trip." He seemed to think we had never played a round of golf on a guy's trip, but we have. I think twice. But there's been a lot of these trips, so that is not very good. So we're going to play golf twice. He has this idea that we're going to play sports, like pickup basketball or pickleball. I don't know about that. There's been some conversation on the text thread. Like, I don't think I can ever jump again in my life, ever. I will be walking on the golf course down a hill, and I'll just have a weird tinge in my knee where I feel like I'm going to fall. You know, helping my son move into his dorm once a year, going up the stairs with a futon is, true test of my health. So I don't have a vision of us like running the court and like throwing the ball ahead for someone to do a layup. Like, I don't think that's even physically possible. Maybe pickleball. I guess a bunch of old people play pickleball. We could probably figure out pickleball. I don't know. I don't want to get hurt on a guy's trip. I just got past this horrible skiing idea where I could have been injured. And so I don't know. I don't know about sports. I just wrote on this piece of paper sports in quotes. Like, I don't know. We also got a jam-packed Saturday, which is, on one hand, super exciting. He's outdone himself. So imagine you're in Colorado. You wake up on Saturday morning and you go to the Gopher versus the Colorado Buffalo football game. You know, I think both teams are 1-1. Colorado played Texas A&M very well. Minnesota had battled Ohio State. So then we go to this football game. And then later that night, we're going to see like a bluegrass concert at Red Rocks, like the most iconic music venue in America. That seems like a lot. At one point when this was on the text thread, one of the guys was like, is there going to be cocaine to help us get through this? We don't do cocaine. But like, it is a lot. Like, I don't know. Like, can I... Like, isn't, like, at our age, don't we have, like, one box to check? And, like, after the Gopher game, we're done? Like, how are we going to do the second thing? Do I have to get, like, a Z-Pack from the urgency room or, like, inject testosterone into my gums? I don't. Am I low T? I might be low T. I don't know if I can do both of these events in one day. So I think this will be the defining day of this guy's guide strip, the captain. This Saturday, this grilled cheese with bacon and truffle, is it too much or is it just right? So that's happening. I do look forward to next year and figuring out where I want to take this group. I should just mess everybody up and have like the next... have the next guy's trip be in like January 2022 and just see if one of our wives' heads actually pops off. That's a noise that I make. I can't do a lot of like, I can't pull quarters out of kids' ears, but the lollipop noise is a huge hit for me. So maybe I'll just start doing that on every show for you guys. The other sort of scandalous thing on this trip is there's been a lot of text about kind of reminding the group text that we need to have proof of vaccination to get into this concert. And I just have this sneaking suspicion that they all think I'm not vaccinated. And so they're trying to remind me, like I'm going to, I don't know what they think I would do if I wasn't, like I'm going to drive down to Walmart or something and get vaccinated. But I will say they're kind of accurate in the sense that my personality is such that when they do kind of remind the group that we need to all be vaccinated, I will comment and say something like, you know, I don't think it's going to be possible to get vaccinated this late, too short notice. So I assume they know I'm vaccinated, but it does feel like they're kind of targeting some of this nervous energy at me. Speaking of nervous energy, so the Vikings started this week. And it's weird. So I've watched all the Vikings games since I was little, basically. But I have a weird phenomenon. When the Vikings lose, it doesn't hurt me. I have no feeling to them. I'm dead inside about the Vikings, even though I watch every one of their games. I did enjoy the Minneapolis Miracle. I can go up with the Vikings, but for some reason it doesn't really hurt me when they lose. The only exception to that is, so my buddy and I had said, we concluded that, you know, watching a football game in your house in September and October is really a tremendous waste of time. You feel horrible about it after you sit inside. It's nice out right now. It's a beautiful fall day. And you sit inside for 4 hours and watch a game, and either the team wins or loses. And it's just an awful way to spend a beautiful fall afternoon. So we concluded that we were going to listen to all the Viking games on the radio on his pontoon boat, at least in the early fall. We couldn't make that happen this week, and so I sat and watched this thing. Went to a bar for a little bit and met somebody. If Quentin Tarantino made a film about why it's a terrible experience to be a Vikings fan, this game was it. Full overtime, lost in overtime, 4 hours long. It was 70 degrees and sunny, and I sat in my home watching the Vikings till the bitter end. It was awful. The only thing good about it, I was at a bar and they scored at the White Bear Bar, and they asked if I wanted a Grape Ape shot. Now, I was planning to go on a run later, which I did, but I still took the Grape Ape shot. It was free. There were guys there in purple bandanas. They were yelling. By the way, having a light purple bandana, you're automatically awesome. I'll share a photo of that guy on Instagram. But I think the only real redeeming thing about the Vikings is the pregame preach with Greg Coleman. This, like, three-minute fire and brimstone weird religious rant that is somehow still allowed, like, the last 90 seconds before kickoff is unbelievably awesome and unique and will probably be canceled soon. So check it out. I love just oddities that somehow survive. We are going to be starting a Viking column on Pull Tab Sports called Scoliosis. S-K-O-L, scoliosis, because obviously being a Viking fan is bad for your health and will give you a spine that looks like a question mark if you do it long enough. So look for that first one. I made it to the secret smoker this week. I restocked my cigars. I bought two brands of cigars. One is called The King is Dead, and the other is called Long Live the King. I think the actual name of The King is Dead is called Last Paycheck. So how about that? Your last name's King, and when someone comes over looking for cigars, you hand them, you're like, what would you like? The King is Dead or Long Live the King? It's a trick question. We'll see how the guys do on the guys' trip with this one. Last episode, the drinking story about the Made in Gen tattoo on her son's toe. I have to say, in the comments, the amount of people that said tattoos, good on ya. Tattoos. Yeah, the bottom of a big toe, not the most common spot to get a tattoo, but he did. I'm winding up my 5x5 movie festival. I've seen Roadrunner about Anthony Bourdain. Pig with Nicolas Cage. I've watched Coda about the deaf girl. I've watched Val. The only one I have left is one on Netflix about, it's the movie about the stripper that was based on that crazy tweet from many years ago. But I will say last night we watched the Anthony Bourdain one. What a beautiful writer he was. A really good movie. It's hard to watch because the last couple years of his life, it really takes a turn. But if you're a creative person, it's a very interesting film. My favorite moment is he says that he was inspired at an early age by, you know, Hunter Thompson, Ernest Hemingway. he felt he could be a strange man, at times asocial, and he could do something not socially acceptable or not even acceptable culturally. But if he wrote about what he did beautifully, it would go down in history as an amazing thing. So, you know, and he lived his life that way. But what a writer, a poet. I know he's famous for food, but he should be famous for his words. It doesn't knock off Pig. That's still my favorite. But check it out. The other one everyone's watching is the Danbury Trashers documentary about the hockey team that was run by the mob. Outstanding stuff. I cleaned my garage on Sunday. I had a day where we had nothing. I don't know the last time we had nothing. And it's awesome to have nothing. Of course, I used four of those hours to morphine drip on a Vikings overtime loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. Awesome. But I did clean the garage, one side of the garage. You know when you're leaf blowing the dirt and leaves out of the garage? Purged, threw away some small plastic hockey nets. You know, the best moment for me, though, was as I was putting, you know, you organize like the soccer balls go in one bin, the footballs go in one bin, the fishing stuff in one area. I found like a basketball pump with a needle in it. Now, in the world of cleaning garages, to find a pump with a needle in it, a usable pump. So in the history of time, let's say 73 million dads have looked for a pump to pump up a football or a basketball or a volleyball. And the amount of times that there was also a needle in the pump is zero until this weekend. I don't know how I have a needle in my sports pump. I pumped up a football, and my son had come through to get his computer fixed, and it was a fall day. I had just wasted half of it watching the Vikings, and I wanted to throw the football around in the backyard with him. And, you know, he's a junior in college. He's a cool kid. And I said, hey, you know, he was kind of getting ready to go back to school. I'm like, hey, you want to throw the ball around for 5 minutes? You know, he doesn't know I've just pumped up this NCAA ball. And he goes, ah, Dad, you know, I really got to fly. And he walked down the driveway and got in his car with his girlfriend. And I swear to God, I thought I was going to start crying. I was like, oh, it was like that 5 minutes of throwing the football around was like I would have paid $1,000 in a silent auction. And lo and behold, I think my wife went down there and said, hey, just throw the ball around with your dad. Probably because she was proud of me that I cleaned the garage. But so he came back, probably threw the ball around for 10, 15 minutes in the sun. No running, no jumping, but it was awesome. As Tommy Boy says, I seen a lot of things in my life, but that was awesome. No, it was, I mean, don't take your kids for granted. Don't take life for granted. It was pretty great just to be throwing the ball around with your son on a 70-degree fall day. The labor shortage. Nobody has anybody that wants to work. This is only relevant because the golf scramble that I played in on Monday was hosted by a semi-truck company, a trucking company. And at half of the holes, they had a guy sitting on the course trying to recruit drivers. And all I could think of was, if something goes wrong with my company, I'm going to drive truck. I'm in. What do you pay? Yeah, I got Bob Seger. And my phone, you know, I got some lip snacks. Let's go. So I guess I could be a truck driver. I'm not sure why I'm telling you that. My business partner had an idea. He at one point he turned to me this week and goes, why isn't there an emoji for butt dialing? It happens all the time. There should be a generally accepted emoji for butt dialing that we don't have to have this awkward conversation, or I don't have to text you. You don't have to ask me. Now, I've looked online. There is kind of some, I would say, non-official butt dial emojis. It looks like on the Apple, you would send a peach, which is a butt, and then maybe a phone or something. There should be. What a genius thought. There should absolutely be a butt dial emoji. So, you know, someone out there listening, I guess, is about to... I don't think you make any money designing emojis, but maybe you do. I got to talk to you about Big Wood Brewery. Things are getting very busy at Big Wood because we're getting into this Oktoberfest. So they got a batch of a beer they make called Oktimberfest, you know, because they're Big Wood. It's now available in the tap room. This is a beer that people really look forward to all year. The Yoda of Big Wood is a guy named Ty. He's the guy that listens to Jimi Hendrix and brews up beer. Ty's version of Oktoberfest beer is fantastic. They call it Oktimberfest. And here's what you need to know about it. It's 5.9% alcohol. It's a traditional German Oktoberfest-style lager brewed for fall celebrations around the world. Malt forward with a crisp, clean finish. Zicky, Zacky, Zicky, Zacky, hoy, hoy, hoy. I don't know what the hell that means. I think that's at the start of a Def Leppard song on one of their best albums. But now they are also having a huge annual Big Wood party. So Red Cooler, Ronnie, all the goofballs that listen, book some time in White Bear Lake starting this Friday, because come celebrate Oktoberfest with us and help us say farewell to a most excellent summer at Big Wood Brewery. This year's celebration will feature the 2021 batch of our Oktoberfest Marzen Lager and other tasty seasonal brews, live Oktoberfest music, brats, sauerkraut, pretzels, and more. There's going to be a music and food schedule probably on their Facebook. The festivities kick off this Friday, 9/24, at noon. Sounds like a half day. And continue through Saturday, and they close at midnight. So that's pretty awesome. We'll do another trivia next week, but it's all about the Oktimberfest at Big Wood Brewery right now. We have a question this week. My wife says that I say the word she says I say question instead of question. There we go. We have a question this week. Here it is. This guy's been a loyal listener. It's a work-related question, which is fine. Here we go.
Kinger, Steve getting in touch with a question for you here. I understand you've got a background in advertising, and I think back to some of the glory days of Minnesota, and one of the most prolific advertisements that I know of, and is before my time, but the Hams Bear and the connection with Campbell Methune. I'm just wondering, for somebody that works in advertising like yourself, what Campbell Methune did with the Hams Bear and the jingle and everything else, how did that affect what's going on today in advertising? I'd like to hear your response. Thanks.
I think he also says question. Does that mean I really paid attention? Good question. So my first job was at Campbell Methune. It was actually called Campbell Methune Esty when I worked there. I remember when I first got there, there were still some large art pieces of the Land of Sky Blue Waters, the Hams Bear. If you remember, bars used to have, some of them still do, these scrolling Hams pieces. So they're like a landscape picture, but it scrolls for like 10 minutes through this huge scene, and the water is always running in the rivers. It's a really cool thing. So I loved that campaign even when I started in advertising. Here's the deal though, That is a bygone era. So they were using cartoons to sell alcohol. This is the Joe Camel, you know, Hams. It's so much better. You know, when I first started at Campbell Methuen, my boss was a deadhead, loved the Grateful Dead, and he used to say, it's advertising, nobody dies. That was his line, to kind of say, just relax, have some fun. Now, I worked in advertising long enough to see somebody actually die on a Cadillac shoot. I wasn't there, but where I was kind of like, hold on, hang on. You know, it was a different era. You know, advertising today is the most, I guess, sensitive, woke industry in the world. And they're certainly not selling a lot of beer using cartoon animals or cigarettes. But you know, I love that campaign too, because I think what they were tapping into was when you're up north and you just kind of do one of these, you just smell the air and you think, God, if I could smell this every day, I would live 10 years longer. That's Minnesota. That's Canada. All those things. So they did tap into something for sure. But that was back in the two martini lunch, you know, Manhattans, people presenting everything on easels. And, you know, this is Don Draper type stuff. So I would say it hasn't taught the industry anything today, because that's the advertising equivalent of having both your kids in the back of a station wagon facing backwards, not wearing seatbelts. It's awesome if you see one of those, station wagons drive by with the wood paneling. You want to buy it, but it's not applicable today. I did see some wonderful creative from that era. I caught the end of the joy at Fallon with Pat Fallon, but yeah, that stuff's a relic. Land of Sky Blue Waters. Joe Camel, You've Come a Long Way, Baby, Virginia Slims. I mean, we're in La La Land there in terms of what it was. I got some big news. Willie Anderson, the best insurance guy on the planet, made the T-shirts we've been talking about. He worked with Corey from the Minnesotan, because Corey from the Minnesotan is always doing all the things that are interesting all the time. And he made these white T-shirts that say Sunday Morning Coming Down. And then in big block letters on the back, they say, as a rule, stupidity is covered. Will Anderson Agency. They're awesome. Great T-shirts. These are like essentially the concert tees of this podcast. So I asked Willie, I said, well, how do you want to give these things out? What do you want people to do? And he said, here's the deal. Get a quote from me in the next 30 days and you get a shirt. Just let me show you how much your insurance would cost with me instead of your current person. And if you even go through that process, I'll give you a shirt. He's not in a hurry to get rid of them because he really likes them, so he doesn't want to give them away on some sort of raffle or, you know, the first 20 people to like something on Instagram. He wants it to help his business. So it's fall. You're about to dump money on your kids' hockey. You're looking at your budget. Call Willie. Reach out to him. I'm going to put the post on Instagram with the T-shirt and what they look like, and they're awesome. And so if you want to get a quote from him, just ping that Instagram post on Sunday Morning Coming Down Pod, and he'll run your numbers. And even if you don't do anything with him, he's going to send you that shirt. So really, really fun. I'm so happy that happened. I'm going to finish with my drinking story. I got a couple more notes. So I got a handwritten note from a client this week just saying that they like working with me. Awesome. So true. I had a buddy stop over with a handwritten note, just kind of being a good friend. He gave me a little podcast microphone trophy. So I can tell you, what you do for other people is all that matters. Write a note, leave a message, you know, do something. If your buddy says he really loves some restaurant, give him a $20 gift card. I don't know. Just reach out and make people feel good. It happened to me a few times this week, and it didn't quite get to the height of playing catch with my son in the backyard on a 70-degree fall day, but pretty cool to get that stuff in the mail. For my drinking story, I've been trying to use Uber and Lyft again. So there can be a tendency when you live in a very small town like White Bear Lake that you might drive to dinner and have a couple cocktails and then drive home, you know, a half mile away. And I don't even want to do that because I don't think that's a good idea. So, but Lyft and Uber have been under the same issue with labor shortage. They just don't have as many cars. It used to be, you know, 2 years ago when I was running back and forth from New York, I could have pushed the Uber button in Antarctica, and you know, there would have been a Toyota Celica on a block of ice floating towards me. I would have jumped in and gone about my way. Now it's real hit or miss if an Uber is going to actually come. So we were at Tally's Dockside, the Key West of Florida, just having a beer after dinner, and got in this amazing Lexus Uber, and the best part about it was when we got in there, it just smelled awesome, and I thought it was an air freshener. We asked him, and he said it was actually his cologne. And I said, "Wow, this smells so good. This is really exciting to me." And he opens the center console, and he has the bottle of cologne in the car, in the Lexus. Now this was a Lyft Lux or a Lyft something special, and this cologne was Abercrombie and Fitch Fierce. Of course, I sprayed it on myself. So I immediately smelled like a 17-year-old boy, which seemed to not have the desired effect on my wife. But it was like I was at Hollister 20 years ago, you know, in a changing room. It was just the best. Abercrombie and Fitch Fierce. We should all get it. It's awesome. So that, and he drove us from Tally's to our house, probably the shortest ride of the night, and I fell asleep smelling like the mall. Not so bad. So that's my story. I want to say hi to my boys out in Colorado. Hopefully we're all listening to this on the way to the airport, and we didn't get too banged up. We acted like grown-ups. We played some golf. Maybe someone had a hole-in-one. You never know. I love you guys, and get it.
Born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind him. You might say he was born again. You might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to the mountain, it don't last for long. If the Colorado Rocky Mountain high, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. The shadow from the starlight is softer than a lullaby. Rocky Mountain high.